This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. The news so far this morning on NFL free agency, the big thing that's getting chopped up on all the national shows that was reported is Adam Schefter reporting that the Steelers are a serious consideration for Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk more about that a little later on this hour. But in addition to the Giants and the Tennessee Titans who've been linked to Aaron Rodgers, we could come in tomorrow, Seth, and Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields could all be on different NFL teams. You know, like or at least verbally committed to being on those teams because we're in the legal tampering period later today.
The fact that Sam Darnold is one of the big dominoes that people are waiting to fall in free agency is one of the weirdest things between now and less than a year ago that you could have ever anticipated foreseen, I think. Well, and especially if you think about the fact that if J.J. McCarthy hadn't gotten injured last year, that none of this would be a conversation. J.J. McCarthy probably would have started. Maybe not. You know, maybe they end up going with Sam Darnold and he has the year that he had. But it's the Wild West when it comes to quarterbacks anymore. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Yeah,
because it's the most paid attention to position in all of American sports. And these guys get traded and move around in a way that they never did before. And then you add to that the dynamic of, look at just what happened this weekend. Geno Smith was an afterthought until 2022. He was a first-round disappointment who was nobody really thought much about. And now he's one of the biggest transactions of this entire offseason so far because he gets traded to the Raiders. Aaron Rodgers is he's in a different situation than you would have ever predicted a few years ago. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is great. It makes it way more interesting at that position. So the news locally here is that Sheldon Rankins is back with the Texans. Rankins definitely a net positive player for the Texans in his 1 year here in 2023, both on the field and behind the scenes. He was about 1 year, a little under $10 million that year, left here to go to Cincinnati because Cincinnati offered him 2 years, $26 million, which he didn't see the end of. He was banged up, ill. He had viral meningitis at one point during his one season in Cincinnati. It just didn't, for whatever reason, Cincinnati and Sheldon Rankins did not mesh. The Bengals cut him to save some money on the cap because they've got all kinds of issues with guys that they've got to sign up to and including T. Higgins and who knows what's going to happen with Trey Hendrickson. So they cut Sheldon Rankins to save a little bit of money. And he gets reunited, Seth, at a deal that's even better for the Texans than the deal he signed here 2 years ago. 1 year, $7 million.
Right. That's good. It's nice to have him there. You could say, okay, he can be a starting defensive tackle. Right now, the Texans didn't really have a guy on the roster that's even a standard starting defensive tackle, that type of guy that you can just pencil in there. I think they still want more, and they want more impact. I don't know if it comes in free agency. And there are a lot of guys out there who are viable starters at defensive tackle that get below the, now, you know, how much are they going to want to pay for Adigazuwa? You know how to pronounce his name, the guy from the Lions. The Cowboys. Anwar Ezeki or whatever. God, there's so many names that are hard to pronounce at defensive tackle from the Lions.
Yeah.
Anwar Ezeki, is that his name?
Not sure.
Yeah.
I don't
You're
know.
Awesome. You're awesome at pronouncing the more hard to difficult or the more difficult.
Yeah, I'm not super dialed in on him. I'm not sure.
There's guys out there that are solid starters that are nothing to get overly excited about, but that you could feel good about going into a season with.
Do you think, I think Texan fans are probably, I would say, maybe excited, maybe overstating it, but I think they're, I think bringing Sheldon Rankins back, I can't imagine there's any Texan fans upset that they're bringing him back at the price, at the price they're bringing him back for. Do you, I've got a list that there's a bunch of former Texans out there on the marketplace. Now, a lot of them are guys that, yeah, you would be signing to lower level deals. Is DeAndre Hopkins probably the one that we get asked about the most of former Texans bringing, like, bringing a guy back in the fold?
I don't think so. I don't get asked about him. Yeah. I don't think there's a real appetite amongst Texans fans to have him back, even if they like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, paired up with Pat Mahomes. He wasn't a huge impact player over the second half of the season with the Chiefs, and especially because, you know, D'Amico has said, hey, I want guys who can separate. I want guys who can separate. DeAndre's never been a great separator. He makes up for it by having such a huge catch radius and being really physical at the point of the catch. He's gotten old.
Yeah.
You know, he's up there in years. So I don't know. I don't sense much of an appetite for DeAndre Hopkins.
I see texts about it sometimes, but yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, like the wide receiver, they need wide receivers, right? They need wide receivers, and theoretically wide receivers that you're not breaking the bank for. If they were breaking the bank for wide receivers, they might have been in on one of these receivers that's actually been available the last several days. DK Metcalf reportedly was really interested in coming to Houston. DeAndre, if you had to take one of these former Texan wide receivers, Seth, that could get signed here, which is the most likely? DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, Noah Brown, or Chris Conley?
I'd say Noah Brown.
I think so too.
The biggest thing with Noah Brown, because I do get asked that a lot. A lot of people say, like, hey, would have been nice to have Noah Brown at the end of the season.
Dude, that's a great point. We get more Noah Brown texts than we get DeAndre Hopkins texts.
The problem with having Noah Brown at the end of the season was that he would have been on IR as well.
Yeah.
So, because he was on IR, he finished the season on IR. The tough thing for Noah Brown this year was it was a hyper-competitive receivers room, and he was injured for most of training camp. And then ended up and was doing some good things with the Commanders, ended up injured again. But, yes, when healthy, I like Noah Brown. Noah Brown has already demonstrated that he can be really good opposite of Nico Collins or Tank Dell when only one of those guys was in the game. And I very much doubt he burned any bridges when he left here. So, Noah Brown, I think.
Probably the one on defense that we get the most. I mean, and I think he's just going to be out of the Texans' price range, given the position too, is Justin Reed. Justin Reed is going to get a big... That could be a name that you see today, and we'll talk a lot about this between now and 10 a.m. Who are the teams that we're going to see the most of today? Who are the players, that the big name? Justin Reed, Seth, I could see being a guy that goes off the board in like the first hour. If Kansas City doesn't re-sign him. He played really good football for Kansas City these last 3 years. He's still relatively young. He came in the league in 2018. He's only 7 years in. I could see him getting a tippy-top safety contract today.
Yeah.
Kalen
Bullock playing as well as he did and really improving as the season went along has people feeling a lot better about the safety position, at least the future of the safety position, than they did last year in the offseason. And all offseason long, when various safeties who are out there, their names would come up and people would say, well, how come the Texans aren't going after this guy? I think the answer was that I think that Caserio likes the future of Kalen Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to lean on something like that when it's just a rookie and not a first-round pick. But that worked out well. I think right now you are in the position of having three really young defensive backs in your secondary that you feel really good about that... Yeah, I don't have an appetite to splurge on another defensive back as opposed to just getting the most out of those three guys and whoever else plays the other safety position.
What if a really good safety like Malachi Starks from Georgia is available at 25?
Oh, would they take him?
Would they take him? Yeah.
I wonder that feels like a kind of moment where I think that Nick tries real hard to take the best player available, but when he's moving around, he's trying to get into a band of positions, a band of players where it meets a need as well. So you can say that he takes the best player available, but he's going to trade up and down to try to get to that spot where the best player available happens to also be a position of need.
Dude, this list of former Texans that are out there on the free agent market, there's very few. Did you have something you want to hit?
No, I'm agreeing with what you're about to say. I was having the same thought.
There's very few I would actually sign.
Yeah.
There are a ton of like just old stories from the last few years tied to these guys.
It makes me feel better about the dynamic where it used to be, man, look, oh wow, this guy went somewhere else and all of a sudden he's a Pro Bowler. Oh, this guy went somewhere else and he's way better than he was with the Texans. I actually feel pretty good about where the Texans are in terms of some of the guys they've let go.
Yes, 100%.
Cam Akers, I guess, would be the one that they didn't give up anything to get him. They got a draft pick in return. There's still a little bit of, I still feel like they might have missed out on a Cam Akers effect on the team, but
maybe,
whatever.
Maybe, yeah, this past season, I could see that. And yet, I feel like the trade for Christian Kirk, I don't even know if it was the seventh rounder they got for Cam Akers that they used to go get Christian Kirk. But that was sort of something floating around on the internet, was they basically traded Cam Akers for Christian Kirk. I'm like, well.
Yeah. Okay, no, let's go with it. Don't overthink this.
Yes, you're right. No, you're 100% right. But like just looking at the names, like Jordan Akins is a free agent. I don't want to sign him, but I have fond memories of Jordan Akins because he caught the pass that allowed the Texans to draft second instead of first in the 2023
draft. That's right.
Like he's
a hero.
He's a hero, Seth.
We advocated putting a statue out in front of the stadium.
Still advocating.
If C.J. Stroud gets a second contract with the Texans because he's played well, then, yeah, we should put a statue of him out in front of the stadium.
It really is amazing. There's still, like, Pharaoh Brown is out there. Kendall Lamb, who was...
Kendall Lamb. I always feel good about seeing Kendall Lamb. I can't remember who he was. He was starting for a Texans opponent last year. Was it the Dolphins?
It was the Dolphins. It was definitely the Dolphins, yes.
I always feel happy for Kendall Lamb because,
I like him.
Man, Kendall Lamb got pressed into action under really bad circumstances when he was not ready and almost got...
Dwayne Brown
almost
holding
got Deshaun
out.
Watson murdered before his career even began.
That's true.
But yeah, I'm glad that it's worked out for Kendall Lamb.
Got a David Quessenberry in here. Remember when Roy Lopez is on the free agency list. Remember when Roy Lopez was the team was so bereft of talent that Roy Lopez was like a very, very front-facing player for the Houston Texans?
I was excited about Roy Lopez because he was way more technically skilled and advanced than a lot of young defensive linemen.
Yeah.
But he was also much smaller than your standard starting defensive tackle. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Roy Lopez was a 91 like you. Carlos Watkins is out there. He was a 91. Foley Fatakasi was a 91. He's out there.
You know who's out there that he might have burned his britches with? Shaq Griffin, the cornerback. Remember Shaq Griffin had some kind of issue with
special teams.
Special teams.
And he got cut in the middle of C.J. Stroud's rookie season. He had just had an interception in the win over the Bengals that year. Remember they beat the Bengals with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati in week 9 that year? And Shaq Griffin had a big interception in that game. And then like 2 weeks later, he was cut. Like, whoa, what's going on? Yeah. But he's out there. Kamu's out there, Seth. He had an interception against the Texans this year playing for the Vikings. Kamu Grugier-Hill.
I don't have any issue with Kamu Grugier-Hill. I had an issue with kind of the way that, because everything was so bad with the Texans, that Kamu Grugier-Hill would make some plays and people would think, hey, here's our next Ray Lewis. And they would ignore the times that he was running in the exact opposite direction of the. When he wasn't making plays, he was like 97 yards away from where he was supposed to be. Yeah. He would just lose people. He was like bad James Harden on defense.
Yeah.
When James Harden is just completely disengaged, doesn't know where. The problem with that being is that at least James Harden can make up for it on offense, where Kamu Grugier-Hill can do nothing for you on offense.
He would just
get completely detached from all reality on various plays.
TFL machine, Pro Bowl alternate that year. Okay.
Yeah.
Goes to show you how valid the Pro Bowl is. Text coming in, flying in here on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. What about getting Kevin Zeitler, the free agent guard that was on the Lions? I've been seeing that floating around. What do you think about that, Seth?
Yes, yes, 100%. And that's the one thing where you can get your excited, genuinely excited about whoever they end up signing at guard, if they go for the free agent guard, where the Texans don't, they're really not in a position to be super active in free agency, or at least I don't expect them to go out on a limb with a lot of this. There are viable guards every year that get signed to reasonable contracts. Last year, Kevin Zeitler played on a one-year, $6 million contract for the Lions and played very well. He's 35 years old, but he's been extremely durable throughout his career. The name that I have a hard time not thinking about when I think about a Kevin Zeitler is Andrew Whitworth. When Andrew Whitworth went to the Rams, all right, really good player, but he's at the end of his career. What are they expecting to get out of Whitworth? I don't know. They won a Super Bowl, and he ended up playing like four more years for him.
Yeah.
So Zeitler could be that type of a guy, and there's multiple guards who are in that boat. Like Brandon Scherff, perhaps, is a solid guard who would probably get a one-year, $6 or $7 million contract that could be an upgrade over what they had at Shaq Mason, but then continue to draft, create more competition amongst your interior offensive line. They're the biggest position right now where you could have an impactful offseason, but without having to shell out buku dollars and high draft picks is at guard or center. And I do think I like some of what I saw from Jarrett Patterson towards the end of last year. I think there's something there with Jarrett Patterson if they use him the right way and if the scheme is suited to the offensive line's talent level.
Will Fries is a name we're getting asked quite a bit about, the guard with the Indianapolis Colts, that it feels like he's going to hit the market today when 11 o'clock rolls around. He's probably, from everything I've been seeing and probably what you've been seeing, Seth, he's pricier than the Zeitlers of the world just because he's younger in his prime. Again, this would be a little like the Joe Tooney thing, where if the Texans, if we all of a sudden saw a Schefter tweet that the Texans have agreed to terms with Will Fries, my immediate reaction would be tremendous excitement because they've upgraded a position that now won't get C.J. Stroud killed, theoretically. But my next gut reaction would be, all right, now, so how are they making the numbers work on this thing? Do you and I worry about the numbers a little too much in this?
I think probably a little bit this time of year because it is. Look, I don't like it when people say the cap is a myth, but the cap can certainly be massaged.
It's workable.
And there's ways to do it selectively.
Yes.
It's one thing when you're selling your entire future for the now, but there's ways to do it selectively. I think the one thing that might be interesting is, depending on what they feel about Tytus Howard and whether they want him to play guard or not, there might be a world in which they say, hey, we like Blake Fisher, we think he's got a future, but he still has to establish himself as a genuine starting offensive tackle.
Yep.
So I wonder if maybe they think about Tytus Howard as a guard, then they go out and sign a Kevin Zeitler or Brandon Scherff type for just a one-year, $6 million deal for the right guard position. You battle it out at center. And then maybe it's a combination of, we're going to have Blake Fisher and we want him to be at right tackle in the future, but maybe you go and get a guy who's like a veteran swing tackle that is the right tackle for the Texans
George,
from a couple years.
George Fant.
George Fant.
Who just got cut by the Seahawks, by the way.
Yeah. So, and certainly didn't burn any bridges because he's been here. It feels like he's been with the Texans like three different times. But George Fant would be a guy like that, Morgan Moses, somebody like that, that if you had to, if you don't feel comfortable with Blake Fisher yet on day one, you can start that guy and Blake Fisher's your swing tackle. So the offensive line, I was saying interior offensive line in total is the position group that I am expecting. I am demanding that they make some non-headline-grabbing types of moves in free agency, but that make you feel a lot better about the stability of the offensive line.
Stability and the overall competitiveness level and the culture in that room. Feel better about that being a swarmier position than it's been the last couple of years. I'm with you on all that.
There's a few, like, honestly, I don't want to throw a deluge of names out there, but there's probably at least three or four offensive tackles that I would like, that would be affordable, that could be swing tackle slash starter types, depending on how Blake Fisher develops.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It is Free Agency Monday. It's kicking off today. 11 a.m. is when the legal tampering period begins. That's when you're going to start to see names fly off the board. This is one of the more fun two or three days, in my opinion, on the sports calendar. The team to watch today, the team that everybody has their eyes on. They're almost the Texans of, they're the 20, they're what the Texans were a year ago at this time. This team is the one to keep an eye on all of these transactions today. We'll tell you who that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Which team is the 2025 version of what the Texans kind of felt like last year? The Texans were not alone, but they were the, to I think to football, Seth, they were the most intriguing team last year that had a bunch of cap space because they actually had a good season in 2023. You know, they made a lot of moves that felt like they were almost finishing touches type of moves on a team that was expecting to make a big leap. And they had a, you know, good, you know, they had a fine season. They won the division. They won a playoff game. D'Amico Ryans has made it very clear that he wants to take this team to new heights. At the very least, get to an AFC title game in the not-too-distant future. They didn't accomplish that. But, boy, those first two or three days of free agency last year were the first day not so much. It was very inactive. But then the second and third day, Azeez Alshire gets signed. D'Anico Autry gets signed. The Danielle Hunter signing was the big one. And then the trade for Joe Mixon. Like that was a really, really fun and exciting 48 hours for this team last season.
Yeah.
You know?
That was like when you're a kid and you find out you're going to Disney World. And you're not just going to Disney World, you're going to stay at that hotel where the monorail goes right through it.
The Contemporary. Yeah, the Contemporary.
Is that the Contemporary?
That's the Contemporary.
It holds up.
It
unlike
does.
Unlike the when you go up through the big sphere at Epcot, where you're kind of like, oh, all right, well, this is probably pretty exciting in the 1960s, but like, yeah.
Yes.
That Contemporary is still pretty badass.
It is.
Still feels futuristic.
It does, yeah.
Or at least like an Asian city of some sort,
yes,
where they seem to have cooler stuff than we do.
It's just
so,
a cool setup, yeah.
Yeah, that's where last year was. This year, this is what I'm excited about, Sean. I am excited about middle class thrift. I am like a dad that just got a zero turn mower. Like, oh, the commercial version? No, the residential.
No.
But you know, it's a little bit of a splurge, but I'm gonna use it, and I'm gonna have an immaculate lawn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it a bag?
I got new Dockers. Hell yeah. Come on, baby. We're going to Chili's tonight. That's what I'm getting excited about.
Is the lawnmower a bagger or a mulcher? Oh, it mulches. No bagging going on. Yeah, it mulches.
Yeah, I'm genuinely excited about that. Same way I get excited about watching birds these days. Like, oh, a bluebird, an Easter bluebird.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Ah. Oh, yeah, you know how excited and frightened I was at that one bird at our place in West Palm Beach there. A very feisty bird. What was it? Spackle or a crackle or a mackle?
A grackle.
Grackle, yeah. I knew.
Which there are like hundreds of thousands right here in Houston.
Yeah, but it was like 10 feet away, and it was very coked up. It was clearly
a
gotten
grackle into, is an imposter crow.
Clearly it right? gotten into somebody's coke. It was very twitchy. All right, so the team this year that is going to be this year's Houston Texans, this year's version of last year's Texans, the Washington Commanders. They don't have the most cap space, but, I mean, the Patriots have that honor. Patriots have $121 million to spend. I cannot wait to see what the Patriots do to mutilate themselves with $121 million in cap space. It's going to be crazy.
Well, they're going after, what's his name? They just got him, the edge rusher. Anyway.
Oh, Trey Hendrickson?
What's that? No.
Joey Bosa.
Never mind. Don't worry about it.
Okay, the Patriots. Okay. Patriots, $121 million in cap space. God, I want to guess this so bad who you're thinking of right now. I'm completely distracted. Chargers have $93 million in cap space. Now, Chargers, actual playoff team. So that is a team that did some things last year. They won more games than the Texans did last year going into the postseason. They were 11-6. They've got $93 million. Cardinals have $78 million in cap space. They were, I think, 8-9 last year. That's an interesting team because I don't get the sense they're fully in on Kyler Murray at this point. Did you find it?
Harold Landry.
Harold Landry. They signed him.
Yeah. They signed Harold Landry.
That's right.
So like that's just like kind of like the first little sign that hey, they're gonna let Vrabel go out and get some
thing.
Of the guys he likes and wants. Yeah.
Yeah, they reunited with him. That was a cheapo deal. 3 years, $43 million with $26 million guaranteed. That's a good deal for the Patriots. Commanders are fourth on the list. This is the team that I'm discussing right now. The Washington Commanders, I think you, Seth, you look at the odds board right now. And again, the odds board is just, is, you know, there's, I get it. It's not a direct roadmap to who's going where, but it certainly is usually a pretty good indicator of which way the wind is blowing on some of these guys. You cannot find a free agent that's out there right now or is going to be out there where the next destination for that free agent, where you get past the top four and the Commanders are not there. Like, the Commanders are in the top four for every single guy, it feels like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And, you know, like, and they've got ownership that, it's interesting that they've got an ownership that's very, very, I don't want to say advanced, but they're with it in terms of the analytical side of things. They're not afraid to spend money, all of that. And I, last year, before the Commanders established themselves as a good team, I thought, I saw people kind of treating the Commanders like they were Dan Snyder still. There's almost like they couldn't separate Dan Snyder from the team name and the logo and everything else like that. I think that they have to look at their situation and think, yeah, look, we're obviously a team that through three quarters of the championship game looked like they belonged, and this was without even really spending a boatload of money. Now I think they're going to spend and spend heavily.
I do too. I do too. And I hope it's completely irresponsible. It's always more fun when these teams do things where you're like, ooh, yeesh, don't know about that one. And this is a free agency class, Seth, that is widely thought of to be one that teams are going to end up buying a lot of lemons in this thing, because it's just, it's not overall a great class. There's certain positions that it's good at, but it's kind of second class. Like, it's good linebackers, it's good interior offensive linemen, because those positions with the franchise tag are kind of broken. I don't want to bore the audience with it, but like, interior O-line and linebackers get mixed in with their franchise tag with edge rushers and tackles on the offensive side.
Yeah.
So it's just way too expensive to franchise tag them. So they get thrown into free agency and you're like, wow, this guy was really, really good. He's
also
a free agent.
Well, you know what? The other end of the spectrum, though, Sean, is the Chiefs. Because the Chiefs, they franchise tag Trey Smith, their offensive guard. At the same time, Xavier Worthy is in the headlines this weekend. Turns out that it sounds like they're not pressing charges against Xavier Worthy. He's claiming kind of what Stephon Diggs is claiming, is that some woman was trying to extort him. But it's more messiness in the offseason for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And they're in a cap situation, as they have been for a few years now, where it's really hard to retain guys that they like. They're probably hoping to try to trade Trey Smith. They traded away one of their best offensive linemen for an offensive line that struggled last year and had a hard time. It's going to be fun. I don't want to read too much into the Super Bowl, but when you take the regular season and the way the Chiefs performed in the regular season, where they were winning
close
but not
games,
the way they used to win, the Chiefs defense is too good to be an awful team next year.
Yeah.
But I think we might very much see them come back down to earth and be just like a standard competitive NFL team.
Yeah.
You can't look at the Chiefs like, oh no, it's the mighty Chiefs.
Right. Well, and you can't dismiss Patrick Mahomes. They got blown out in the Super Bowl, but they were in the Super Bowl. You know, like, you have to be in the Super Bowl to get blown out in the Super Bowl. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on all that. A lot of texts. Hey, Sean and Seth, what do you think about the free agent center from Atlanta, Drew Dalman? He's gonna get a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's viewed as the top center. Now he's steeped in the system that the Texans have been playing. We have no idea. That's a big variable. Like, what exactly is Nick Caley's system?
No, he's not steeped in the system that the Texans are going to be playing.
No, but he was steeped in the system they were playing in last year. We don't know what Caley's going to be doing.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah,
but you're saying, like, what of the... Like, no, just because he's good at zone blocking or anything else like that, it's not... That's not what the Texans are going to necessarily be.
Man,
I think they are going to be very much more in the mold of the Patriots when Caley was with the Patriots, where you're a game plan, you're a game by game, week by week basis, and you're going to modify your offense to what your offensive lineman and everybody else does well.
Yeah.
So I think I guess maybe I'm way more bullish on the potential of Jarrett Patterson than other people are. You got to remember, as a center, there's only so much you can do when you don't have good guards playing next to you. A lot of your job as a center at times is to feed guys to the guards or to be there in assistance of the guards. And there was not good guard play for the Texans last year. I saw some upside out of Jarrett Patterson, and I've seen upside out of Juice Scruggs too when he plays center. I want to see those guys compete if they have quality guards next to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the big if, is what does that offensive line look in terms of the veterans on there?
Payne and Penner.
Not that I would kick Drew Dahlman out the door. I think the Texans are looking at it as, hey, if we can get an upgrade at guard or both guard positions, then we'll see what we have with these centers.
Yeah, I think for what he's going to cost, I think they feel like their solution at center is in the building right now.
Yeah.
Whether it's Jarrett Patterson or Juice Scruggs.
The other thing about center, Sean, is that the free agent centers, it's like Drew Dahlman and then nobody else, really.
Yeah.
Other than guys who are either young and unproven or old and banged up, and I think it'll be too much for the Texans to spend right now at a position where I don't feel like you should be spending a lot of money unless you have to.
Yep. Someone texting him, what's the story on John Weeks? Free agent, as far as I know. I don't think the team has re-signed. I mean, he's been here on one-year deal every year. They brought in a guy on a reserve contract.
He's gone through moments where they've kind of cut him, but with an understanding that they're going to bring him back. I could see John Weeks right now very much being a guy that they're saying, well, hey, listen, John, we want to have as much cap space as possible. Don't worry about it. Just we'll circle back after free agency and take care of it. You know,
he's literally been cut before. So, he's been down this road. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
Not that I'm saying that they wouldn't move on from him. There's nothing about his current status that makes me feel like, okay, the relationship has changed, unless we hear otherwise.
I agree. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Circling over to the Astros, some very, very good news on the injury front for the Houston Astros. We'll get to that in just a minute.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, there are a few of you texting in. Harold Landry, that's who Seth's talking about. Reggie Atatula in the Lou post. Text me, all caps. He's talking about Harold Landry. Seth was having me guess the New England Patriot edge rusher. I thought you meant somebody they were going after. I didn't know you meant somebody they'd signed. I may have misheard.
Well, no, there's evidence that, like, yeah, they're going to spend in free agency.
Yeah.
They're going to, like, and that's obviously somebody that Vrabel has familiarity with from Tennessee, and that they're going to go out and because the Patriots are generally pretty thrifty, other than the 1 year that Bill Belichick went super crazy in free agency.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go for it.
I had forgotten they signed Harold Landry. That's why I was going to the other names.
Yeah.
I will tell you that when I can't guess the person you're thinking of after like the third try,
yeah,
I feel like a complete failure. I feel like I've let you down and disappointed you.
Ideally, the person that is actually thinking of the person should come up with the name and
right.
have that.
Yeah.
So it's ultimately a Seth Payne issue. Don't feel bad about yourself.
Okay.
Sean.
Okay. I got you. Yeah. All right.
You're the reserve shoot. Okay. Only so much is expected of you.
Well, we both.
Although it'd be nice that if when you need the reserve shoot, it'd be nice if it would show up.
No,
but I guess
there's a big Harold Landry shaped grease spot at the bottom of the.
Yeah,
wherever the landing zone is right now.
It's also in this flurry of free agency, it's hard to keep track of everything. I like the free agency tracker that I like right now is the Athletics free agency tracker,
because
they do a good job of updating whether or not guys have signed or not.
Yeah.
Whereas some of these other trackers, like they'll give you the list of the free agents, but they don't tell you whether they've signed or not, and it's up to my meager brain to kind of try to keep track of it.
Yeah, so. I like the ESPN tracker. It's not a tracker like you're talking about where it has like their top 100 guys and shows whether or not they signed.
Yeah.
It's really just a stream of conscious, almost like a blog with news items or nuggets in there.
Yeah.
Like Nugget Hussy type stuff. And I kind of like that stuff on a day like today. It's a nice break from all the little lower level signings like this one here. Did the Eagles make a mistake with their Barkley extension? This is from Seth Walder, analytics guy. A recent move that was quietly somewhat bizarre, the Eagles giving Saquon Barkley a 2-year, $41 million extension. An odd deal because it was so unnecessary. Barkley had 2 years left on his contract. His new deal, they handed him $22 million in fully guaranteed money in exchange for almost nothing. Those extra years come when he's age 30 and 31. See, I like reading stuff like this because I'm like, I kind of agree with him on this. I don't know why they did that.
It is a little, it's
this is their free agency tracker.
And as they also have to pay, they got to pay Zach. I'm sure in their offseason calculations headed into this year, like if they're doing their two-year projections, they were thinking, like, maybe Zach Bond, the linebacker, will work out. And we got to give him more than what we gave him this year.
Did he ever?
And instead, they give him one of the highest paid linebacker contracts in the league because he was an all-pro this year. He was awesome. They already stretched to give Saquon Barkley the deal they did. And then, I don't know, maybe this was a little bit of a, you know, the how they had, maybe this is the discussions they'd had when they signed Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, we win a Super Bowl.
And we know what the deal is with running backs. You know, you guys are, for the most part, it's hard for you guys to get contracts, so we're going to take care of you. If it works out, we're just going to keep moving it down the road a little bit. A
few Astros-related things we'll get to since we have a few minutes before the top of the hour. Christian Walker's MRI on his oblique muscle, which you and I were talking about on Friday, like, oh, crap. And you had actually gone and got all the numbers on the number of games. He'd missed a bunch of games over the last 2 or 3 years with this very injury. No strain, the MRI showed. So he's getting worked back in slowly at spring training this year.
It was Sean Bajani that had looked at the three previous times that Christian Walker had had oblique issues. And the first couple times he missed a couple weeks. There was one time where he missed about a month. But I thought that you made the best point, which was hopefully, at the time we were thinking, hopefully this is a spring training thing where he felt a little twinge or something, and he's been through this before. He doesn't want to screw around with it. And it looks like that's what it was.
It seems like
just being very careful about it.
Exactly what it was. So that's really good. I mean, obviously not only important to what they want to accomplish, spent a lot of money on him. So that was good to see. Jose Urquidy signs with the Tigers, and look, the Astros are pretty deep in pitching, especially if they get some of these guys back that they expect to. Lance McCullers had another live bullpen session, Seth, since you and I have last done a radio show with each other. That sounds like it went okay. Through, I think McTaggart said 23 or 24 pitches, and it went fine.
Yeah.
Urquidy signing with the Tigers. I will miss his tiny little alligator arms. It'll depress me to see them on a different team next year. I like Jose.
It's also, you know what, there was also part of having Urquidy on the team that it felt like he was one of the only Mexican pitchers in the league, and it felt like, as obviously we have a lot of Mexican Americans in this city, it felt like a little bit of a common, in this age where it's so hard to find good diplomacy, or we've got strained relations with some of our immediate neighbors. Yes. Jose Urquidy felt like, hey, man, it's a feel-good moment.
It is.
Yeah.
Now they get him in Detroit. So he's reunited with A.J. Hinch. I mean, he's still rehabbing his Tommy John injury. This sounds like one of those things. Like, this sounds like one of those deals where they're basically paying him to rehab his injury, and then if he comes back healthy, there's a team option for next year. So Jose Urquidy, I forgot he won 13 games the year they won the World Series, Jose Urquidy. Forget what a big... I mean, he was a very underrated part of that World Series team in 2022, for sure. Gerrit Cole might be getting Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, he had to get... I hadn't seen the update that there was a recommended to get the Tommy John. I saw that he had to get evaluated.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to get Tommy John? I think it's rare to recommend you get Tommy John as a pitcher and that you don't get
He's getting a second opinion. He's getting a second opinion. But yeah, if there's one out there that feels like he needs it, it's not for nothing. I don't think it's precautionary Tommy John surgery at Gerrit Cole's age. You know,
the tough thing about anything like that is if you've got a partial tear or something like that, it's you can take the route of conservatism, which if you're just a normal person out in everyday society, and maybe you play co-ed softball or something, you're like, yeah, let's see if this thing works out. But then all of a sudden, you know, if you wait and see if it works out, and then in June you realize, oh, I got to have the surgery, it can screw up two entire seasons.
Yeah.
So you got to hedge and kind of say, all right, do I want to miss two seasons or just one season now for sure? Do I want to possibly play poorly if it's bothering me?
Yeah.
Or just go ahead and get it done? So I think he probably ends up getting it done.
I think so, too. This is where, remember in the offseason this year where Gerrit Cole briefly opted out of his deal? He had a player option to opt out. And you opt out if you think you're going to go get more money. He was already one of the highest paid pitchers in baseball and missed half the season with elbow injuries. And I was watching him. I'm watching this news of him opting out. I'm like, what are you doing? Eventually he changed his mind. Wisely. He he changed his mind. But I remember thinking, like, what, dude, you missed, you started 17 games last year, like half what you're supposed to start because of elbow injuries. What are you doing? Like, literally, for Pete's sake,
I always look at those situations as that there's something nuanced going on with the way the CBA is structured and the negotiating. They know what they're doing. It was just for whatever reason they felt like they had to do it.
He changed his mind. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Payne and Pendergast with you. I know everyone loves Joe Mixon, but what are we doing about running back two? At what point do we make a decision on DP? That'll be interesting over the next couple days. Do they kick tires? It's not a great running back class. I don't know if any of these guys get paid. Aaron Jones just signed. He re-signed with Minnesota, 2 years, $20 million. So yeah. If you're trying to get a gauge for maybe where some of these guys fall in this class, maybe that's a gauge of some sort, but it's not a really good running back class.
I mean, it's J.K. Dobbins, Najee Harris, Nick Chubb, and you just, given the injury history of those guys or mm-hmm. their age, I think the way most GMs feel about it is that they'd rather take a flyer on a second or third round running back than to spend. If you're in a situation like the Texans are right now, you don't want to spend for a guy like that.
No.
When I don't want to sit there and say like running backs are a dime or dozen or anything. Obviously they're not. But I feel like that's something that the Texans will address in the draft. But also that I think Nick Caserio genuinely loves Dameon Pierce. And that's evidenced by the way they treated him this past offseason. And I think that they probably want to see what Dameon Pierce can do with a different offensive coordinator. Look, Dameon Pierce with Pep Hamilton as his offensive coordinator was a much better version of himself. And I think that instead of trying to spend 2 years seeing if Dameon Pierce can grasp Bobby Slowick's system, the way Nick Caley talks and operates, or at least the way he says he's going to operate, is that they tailor the offense to the strengths of their players. So I think that they like Dameon Pierce, and they're going to figure out exactly the best way to use him, and that they still might draft a guy.
Yeah.
So I think that it's just there really aren't any marquee guys out there to sign in free agency.
Yeah. Damian's in the last year of his deal, by the way, for those wondering. It's crazy. That 2022 class, all of a sudden, here we are, man. These last 3 years have gone by quick from that perspective.
You know who's available that's intriguing as a running back is Ty Johnson from the Bills.
I had him on my fantasy team at the end of the year last year. He did some nice things for me. You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take him.
Well, he can do like he's a receiving back and everything. I don't know how he is as a pass protector, but I like watching him play every time. He just flashes all the time.
I do too. He was the one that was strangely in the game on the last drive against the Chiefs. In that playoff game, like they come out first and 10, they got to go down and get points to win this game or maybe tie the game. I think it was driving for a tying field goal. First and 10 with a healthy James Cook, and they got Ty Johnson in there and they're handing him the ball. I'm like, I like him too, but not like final drive of the game when you got James Cook on the sidelines.
It felt like they were trying to get a little too clever in the second half after James Cook had been going off.
Yeah.
And now, based on what they were seeing defensively, it might have been as simple as that.
Yep.
Let's see. Ty Johnson could stand to be more consistent in pass protection.
Okay.
Ah, damn you, Ty Johnson.
Yeah, no, we need someone who keeps CJ upright. All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Let's circle back to free agents in the offseason. Is there anything that any of the leagues do better than the NFL when it comes to the offseason? I think today is proof that the NFL might do everything better than all these other leagues. We'll run through it. We'll do it coming up next.